Good.
So glad we're all together this morning on this Lord's Day. And let's open our time in prayer and commit our time to God. Father God, you are a good and glorious God. We just thank you for your great love of us, your great care of your children, your word that's living and active. You are a conquering God. You are a victorious God. And we take much delight in that. And yet, in our families, we struggle. We have wars within as parents, as adults, and certainly our youth, as they mature and grow both physically and spiritually, have a great battle that's going on. And so, Father, we need your help and pray for your continued and sustaining grace that we stand in. God, we commit our time to you as we continue on and consider this weighty topic of sexual sin and temptation and how it can destroy people, and it can infiltrate the family in insidious ways, and the consequences are real. But you are a great victorious God, and you do give victory, and you do give restoration and healing, and there's much hope in that. So God, I pray that you'd bless our time and have us consider the truth of your gospel grace in our lives. We pray in your name. Amen. Okay, so you guys all got the handout. Thank you for shutting the door. We're on this topic of, Michael, could you grab two more handouts? On this subject, our youth are highly susceptible to sexual temptation. And so it's been mentioned before, and I'll mention it again. This is so prevalent everywhere. It's prevalent in the world, it's prevalent in the schools, it's prevalent in our homes, it's prevalent in the Christian community. And as parents and young people, we need to be so aware of the gravity of this, the sneaky nature of this sin and the tempting that is out there, because I think if we went around the room, and we won't, we could all talk about someone that we know that has been affected by sexual temptation and sin, and how it ensnares, and it can just so fast grow deep tap roots into the lives of whomever. You know, this is about youth, but we have to be on guard as adults as well, because just because we have some gray hair or lack of hair doesn't mean we're not susceptible to this sin as well. We have to be very careful. So here's our family, your family, anybody's family, and this is what's coming at us. And we mentioned it, you know, as we went around last week, but I thought it was just good for us to be reminded. Our family is, you know, warring with the sin within ourselves, within our kids, and then we have these things. We have the fact that God has blessed our country, and so we sort of have it easy compared to most countries. And so dollars flow and dollars bring pretty much what we desire, and that's a risky thing as it on its own. There's a lie of safe sex, you know, the disconnect between sexual relationships and pregnancy, and all that comes to bear. And then the pornography that's just prevalent. You know, you have pornography on the internet and probably many other places I'm not aware of, but, you know, as it's called, soft porn, that shows up in shows and movies and theaters and billboards and you name it, and the access to it. Your schools, the libraries, Starbucks, anywhere there's an internet connection for the most part. And again, as youth, you've got to be so careful. And as adults, we have to be careful ourselves. We need to be preemptive, as we talked briefly about, you know, putting blocks and filters, not as the end all, but as a protection as we're working on the hearts of our young people. And the reality that, you know, divorce is easy in society. And in some ways, it's encouraged. And often many people look at that covenant relationship as a contract. And once the feelings wane or go, or there's conflict, man, we just hit the eject button and we move on. And we know those are all lies from the pit of hell, from Satan, and yet that's what the families are contending with. So we're going to go back to Proverbs 7, because we didn't get that far last week. So you guys can start to move in that direction to Proverbs 7. And so I want to just remind us all, is as we're, you know, contending with this sexual temptation and the sin that can come to bear in our own homes or with friends and family, It's easy to become downtrodden and downcast and feel like there's no hope, and yet there is hope. You know, that's the great God that we call Lord and Savior that gives us victory as we trust, as we obey, as we seek the Scriptures and we follow those commands, and God gives the increase as He sees fit. But you know, again, as parents, we need to be careful. We certainly want the best for our kids, and that's appropriate, and yet when sin ensnares, if we have the wrong mentality as a parent, we think like it's our moral failure. And certainly we have responsibilities, but that's their walk of faith is theirs. Their salvation is between them and God and God's work. And certainly we're to exemplify the right thing and point them to the hope and all these things. But, you know, I just remind us all, because often, you know, we get so grieved when our youth sin. And that's, you know, appropriate. God is grieving, and yet we're not the owner of that. Their success really isn't our success. It's the Lord's increase. And just remembering that balance, so that we don't become, you know, so downcast that it becomes both an idol and a depression, you know, beginning. Okay, so we're going to go to Proverbs chapter 7. As I mentioned, it starts the way it ends, and that's with instruction. That is very helpful, which brings us hope and safety as we trust and obey that. We went through the first five verses last week, and you know, we spent time on it. I'm going to read them quickly, but we're not going to, you know, go through it with detail. But and then we'll move on. Okay, so starting at verse 1, my son, keep my words and treasure up my commandments with you. Keep my commandments and live. Keep my teaching as the apple of your eye. Bind them on your fingers. Write them on the tablet of your heart. Say to wisdom, you are my sister, and call insight your intimate friend, to keep you from the forbidden woman, from the adulteress with her smooth words. And so we talked about these things. So we see the instruction, this command, this call, it's urgent. You know, be wise and embrace the commands of your father that should be in accord with the commands of God's word, because that's where power and safety is. And the result is you're going to be protected from, you know, that seductress that's out there, the internet and all the other things that we have talked about, not to mention, you know, the war within that we have to contend with. Okay, so now we get to verses 6 through 9, and we see this youth who is going to be displaying his foolishness. And this sad story of seduction. So verses 6 through 9, we're going to read. And who would be willing to read that nice and loudly? Verses 6 through 9. I can read it if no one is. Okay.
4. At the window of my house, I looked through my lattice and saw among the simple. I perceived among the youths a young man devoid of understanding, passing along the street near her corner, and he took the path to her house in the twilight, in the evening, in the black and dark night.
Thank you. Okay, so
their dangerous place.
Right. So now let's talk about this. So first of all, verse 6, this is dad talking. This is the father talking as he's observing what's happening in this path of seduction. And then he goes on to say, I've seen among the simple, and he talks about this young man. I can't remember what your translation said. Mine said lacking sense. And so what this dad is not saying is this person's stupid. What he is saying is that this youth, and this describes our youth, is they're inexperienced. They're gullible. Your character is still under development. And so because of that, you're easily entrapped and ensnared by sin. That's what we see there. We see in verse 8, this youth with passion and energy, which we know, you know, you're at that age and that, you know, the your biology is just moving you, that you've got all kinds of energy and passion. And the key is to be using it in the right ways to honor God. And we'll see that this youth doesn't do that. And so in verse 8, we see this young person heading towards danger, you know, straight on. And so a question, have any of you, whether you're younger or older, have you ever gone out to a place or at a time that was not the best choice?
Oh, yeah.
Right. Okay. Yeah. The answer is yes. And so we're going to see that. And even though we bounce through it, I think here and then a little bit later in this chapter, for you young people, and certainly for all of us, where we travel matters. Where we go matters, and the time that we go. You know, I think we could all tell stories, what we won't, because it wouldn't honor God necessarily, but where we've gone someplace at the wrong time. I can go somewhere at noon, and it's a great place to be. I can go there at 10 o'clock, midnight, 2 a.m., and it's really a completely different location. And the mood is different, and the people hanging out there are different. And so young people need to consider that, and us as adults need to counsel our young people, and young people need to trust the older people, because we are aware of what is lurking out there, even when you think you do. Many times you don't. Okay. So here's another point I want to make as we look at this scripture. Young people are blind in ways that, you know, you don't see until you're on the other side of puberty, and you can look back and see that, you know what, your physical maturity many times outpaces your spiritual maturity. And so your ability to self-govern it's not ready. You're not ready for your parents to completely release you. And so you need to trust in your parents to guide and instruct and help you. Certainly the reins get looser as you guys get older, but your parents are lovingly trying to, you know, guide and guard you and shepherd you. Thank you. Because very easily, again, you can start looking like a young woman or a young man. You know, puberty is fully set in. You have the ability to reproduce offspring, but your spiritual maturity is still in infancy. It's growing. Some of you are more mature, certainly, and some are not saved. But consider that. And that's why, again, God has given you parents to trust you, to be trusted, so that they can guide you through this time where hormones are raging. And just because you're taller than your dad doesn't mean that you're smarter than your dad in terms of spiritual maturity.
I love when in the Bible it talks about shepherding. There's a crook, there's a hook, and sometimes you have to reach in and you have to poke and prod.
Right.
And
yes,
it's in a loving way. We were with four grandsons, and one is so sensitive. When you reprimand him or when you discipline him, he just bawls. And I said, "No, wait a minute, you need to stop crying. Grams does this because I love you.
Right.
I'm trying to protect you."
Right.
And they don't see it, just like you said, they don't understand it.
Yeah, good. That's very helpful. A great reminder of us as shepherds, as parents, and really that image of the staff, right? We're watchers. We're watching over our family. And we're protecting the evils that are trying to infiltrate. We're guiding. And, you know, so this staff whacks the evil.
Right.
It also gets the attention and corrects our young people. And then as they're getting ready to jump off the cliff or run off the cliff like sheep do, we pull them back. So, yeah, thanks for that. That is what we are called to do as parents. Okay, so we're moving on. Here's a question. What does the world say to our youth as it relates to indulgences? I was thinking about this last week. Okay, if it feels good, do it. What else comes to mind? I mean, that kind of encapsulates the whole thing.
Well, you're accountable to yourself only. And so if that, you know, that justifies your decisions. If it feels good, but if it's best for me, it's not about how it affects other people.
Right. So it's very me-centric.
Yeah. There's no absolute truth.
No absolute truth.
Best for you.
That's right.
Yeah.
So
if it makes you feel good, you should do it.
Right.
Follow your heart.
Yeah. Yes. Follow your heart. Boy, does that just sound special, doesn't it?
And you deserve it.
And you deserve a break today. That's right.
It also makes a disconnect between moral activity and sexual activity. And that is what really is the most hurtful.
Right. Very good, Ron. Yeah, that disconnect that doesn't call this stuff sin. It's just something you do. You know, is it amoral? It's not immoral, and that's so dangerous.
My mom made me read Proverbs and about the woman. You know, and she was a pain. She was a protector.
Right.
She was trying to warn me about this, and I remember saying these words, oh, that's not a problem, Mom. It's not a problem. But I went down those roads. Or I know. Don't tell me again. I know. You know,
right.
I can hear those words echoing because my sons did it to me. You know,
right.
Like, hey, dude, don't go. I know, Dad. Like,
yeah. And you're exactly right. And that's why God repeats things numerous times to us, because we need to hear it as adults, and our youth need to hear it. His children need to hear the warnings and promises, because we're so quick to forget.
Well, and when you said about what's good for me, it started in the Garden of Eden. Cain said, am I my brother's keeper? Yes,
right.
You are.
Right.
It affects everyone that we come in contact with.
Right.
All of those things, whether it's divorce, pornography, it affects everyone.
Right, it does. And that's why God has designed, one of the benefits of the body of Christ is to come alongside one another, to build one another up, to encourage one another, to grab the hand of the person that's struggling. And the key there is, number one, those reaching down need to be sensitive and aware that this person needs help. And the person in the mud needs to be humble enough and transparent enough to say, I need help. And God is honored in that.
It's like this marijuana business. Well, I'm not hurting anybody. So you drive over them with your car. You know?
Right.
It's just a
lot of lies. Yep, you're right. A lot of lies out there.
Well, I think around this, it's become so prevalent in our society today. It's become so easy, the things that you have up there, not just social media. And I think that it's set unrealistic expectations for things around sexuality that that the young people today, if that's their education, they don't have a true sense of what the design of that from God was, and how it's to complement the relationship and build the relationship up.
Right.
And I think that it's distorted, much like we see other avenues of the truth of God being distorted from the beginning, but even today, it has been distorted to a point that, like Canada said, it's whatever feels good and there's no consequences to it, even though there are consequences, lasting consequences. And so we would do well to be like the father in Proverbs, to try and warn our children, sons and daughters, teenagers, young adults, about this, because it doesn't go away just because you become an adult or you get married. These things are things that carry on throughout your life, because society is pushing the distortion of these things, and that it doesn't mean anything when it means everything.
Right.
In God's eyes.
Right. Thank you, Jason. That's very helpful. The world perverts many things. And this is one of them, where sexuality, what is womanhood all about? What is a man all about? It is so polluted and perverted that if any of us look to the world for guidance in that area, we're going to be messaged with the wrong message. And even, you know, thank the Lord we have God's word, but when we go anywhere, to work, to school, to athletic event, you name it, that message is there. It is pounding on our doors, and it's pounding on our youth's doors every day. And that's why we need to, kind of like you were saying, we need to continue to sit down and be real and say, hey, I'm concerned, be careful. And when our youth say, we got it, but you know what? That's the deception. They're self-deceived, because we know they don't got it. And as adults, you know, we struggle. We need to continue to, you know, pray and repent and be sober-minded. And so we have to, you know, lost in space. Do you guys remember the old Lost in Space? What did the robot say?
Warning.
Warning, warning, Will Robinson. Well, we need to be saying to our parent or to our kids with regularity, warning, warning, and then point them to the reality and help them see what is motivating them right now. And again, that's why I wanted to spend time going through this proverb, because it is so helpful, even though it's written poetic and it's written in ways that if you just read it quickly and, you know, without considering the context and the culture, you might think, wow, this is kind of hard to get, but it's actually very clear. It's very helpful. You know, this seductress is down the street here, maybe in the church here, certainly on clicks away on the internet and sites and advertising and you name it, that's what we're what's being painted here for our benefit and for us to be sort of staggered with, wow, this is there. This isn't, you know, the worst thing a young person could do is read this story or listen to me and go, oh yeah, that's, I have no worries. I'm being raised in a Christian home. You know, that's when you fall. And so that's why we're spending this time, because it is so easily to be ensnared by this particular sin. And as Jason mentioned, it cripples the family.
Verse 12 says, at every corner she lies in wait. And that's important to realize. It's not just the internet, or just
that's right.
going to parties, or mm-hmm. just drinking and drugs, or just, it's at every corner it lurks to seduce you because of your own sinful heart.
Right.
The seductress is tempting us in our own, to our own weakness.
Right. Absolutely.
It's at every corner. And it's not just for that young boy. We're not exempt. We're in our 60s, we're not exempt
right.
from some of those are experiences. But I mean, we're still at every corner.
Right.
That's why we have shepherds. That's why we have, you know, a husband and wife keeping each other accountable. That's why we have brothers and sisters keeping each other accountable, because it lurks and it raises its ugly head, and the temptation is right there.
Right. Right, which ties right back into what Jason.
This doesn't have an age barrier.
Yeah, absolutely. And you know what Jason said is so right. I want to say it again because it's just a big deal. And that is, you know, so sin was very prevalent, you know, just like it is today back when this was written. No doubt about it. But they didn't have the mediums that we have. And so it's just bombarding you young people. It's bombarding us. And so it's in our face all the time. And what we need to be so careful of is that we don't buy into that's normal and okay. That's just, you know, that's what young people do, or that's what old people do. And, you know, that's the lie. That brings no glory to God. And really all that does is devastate the testimony that we desire to be unto the Lord.
I think the truth of that is that it doesn't matter what stage of life you're at. It's when you exchange the truth for a lie, as Romans 1 tells us, and what you're willing to give up for that exchange. And right. It could be your purity as a young person. It could be your family as an older person. And we see that happening all throughout our society. And we had Frank Erb here talking about how that's happening. Politicians who have thrown their lives away because of these things that we're talking about. So
right.
It's a very important issue that we need to be real about, and we need to be transparent about.
Right. Absolutely. Okay, so now verses 10 through 12, and Glenn, since you commented on one of them, do you mind reading verses 10 through 12?
Behold, the woman meets him dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart. She is loud and wayward. Her feet do not stay at home, now in the street, now in the market, and at every corner she lies in wait.
Thank you. Okay, so as we look at this a little closer, we see that the temptress, in the forms and fashions we've talked about, is actually pursuing him. And I want to just be reminding ourselves, it's not just about him, it's about the her as well. You know, sexual sin, yeah, guys struggle in unique ways, but so do gals. And so we need to remember that this psalm, although written from a dad to a son, is for our young ladies as well. And so she's pursuing him as he gets closer, and then what we see is that she captures him. And her real ways are revealed, as we're going to see. So we see that she's dressed as a prostitute, wily of heart, which means, you know, she's crafty, she's strategic, this sin. And, you know, at the most basic level, what it reminded me of as I read that is, you know, when we're out in the marketplace, and you're a young person as well, out in the marketplace, out there, we need to guard our eyes. And if we're beginning to build a relationship with some female, let's just say, and they're dressed in a sexually attractive way, that should be like warning number one. Flashing lights should be going on for any of us. Not that we want to be that condescending, you know, sin. They need the sin. They need, you know, the gospel to come to bear on their lives, certainly. And so I'm not talking about, you know, us condemning that person, but for any young person to run to that, or to begin to build a relationship and say, well, this could be somebody I'd like to, you know, get to know, and maybe who knows what God has for us. We need to be careful, because, you know, we see that this seductress is dressed in a provocative way. And so for our female children, for you female moms, that's why we need to be considering what you guys wear. Because what we don't want to do is unintentionally cause a brother to stumble because of our dress. Okay, and so then it goes on to say, she is loud and wayward, which is another way of saying she's rebellious. This is not a person of dignified character, gentle in her, you know, her ways. And again, that should be something that as we train ourselves in godliness and we're teaching our youth, is what are they seeing? What are you seeing in these people that you're trying to develop friendships with? Is that what you're seeing? Someone that thinks it's cool to be rebellious and loud and wayward. That's not someone that I would recommend that you become intimately associated with. And then her feet do not stay at home. This is what, you know, Glenn talked on as well. Now in the street, now in the market, at every corner, she lies in wait. The internet, ads, movies, you know, everywhere, you know, as was said. So, you know, I won't spend more time on that. But that is so critical.
And it's seductive. So it's never ugly. It's dressed up. It's
right.
It's always made, you know,
appealing.
It's always made to be appealing.
Right.
The commercials, the advertisements, the stores in the mall, everything is made appealing.
Right.
Which, you know, it's, we have to really be diligent to see what is this really saying, because, and you can do that when you're even young, even in a movie, a Disney movie, mm-hmm. there's a lot of follow your heart and
right.
those kind of messages is that even in a seeming innocent children's movie it's heavily mm-hmm. painted as okay
right.
to think that way.
Right. That's the agenda of the world.
Mm-hmm. Even the highly educated person I talk to is kind of like, you know, that's distracting. You know, well, it's just flesh. It's just skin. What's the big deal? You're the one making it a problem. It's kind of like, okay.
Right.
It's not that simple. It's not that simple for guys. It's not. It's just... No, we're just naturally attracted to you guys, and it's caution, you know,
right.
It's like...
Right, well, God made beautiful, right?
Absolutely, yeah, and it is wonderful.
A fallen world has perverted.
Yes. First Peter 5:8, it says, be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, walks about like a roaring lion, seeking whom he may devour.
Right.
It's crafty. It's appealing. You can say, oh, it's just a little innocent flame. A moment's pleasure will give you a lifelong heartache.
Right. Absolutely.
One thing I've been thinking about as everybody's talking is how in our family, and I'm sure this isn't just our family, but I'm a worrier, and so I do warn the kids quite a bit about things, but they've kind of become deaf to it a little bit because they just perceive me as being a little too much of a worrier. And they also, so there's that struggle. Like, you warn them, but a lot of times they're just like, oh, Mom, you know. But also, I think the real problem is just pride, that the young people are just so confident in themselves. That's something that we've seen, is they just don't listen often to counsel. And so I feel like that's a big struggle, is helping young people see, like, that seeking counsel and listening to advice is a godly trait.
It's an evidence of spiritual maturing.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. If our young people don't come to their parents and other spiritual leaders that are mature, then actually that's an evidence of lack of maturity, because they dangerously think they can do it on their own. And that's not what God intended. That's not what God has designed. And so you're right. That's something that's very important for our young people to see And for us, we desperately need Abba Father every day. We desperately, as adult believers, need to be reminded we need the grace of our Lord every day, and we need to be standing as close to Him as possible, because as soon as we wander, what happens? We trip, we fall, we sin, we get fearful, we get angry, we get, you know, many other things that don't honor God at that moment. Okay, let's go to verses 13 through 18. Verses 13 through 18, we see this temptation now growing to a full sexual immoral encounter. And do you have it handy so you can read it nice and loud? Verses 13 through 18.
She seizes him and kisses him. And with bold face, she says to him, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vow. And now I have come out to meet you, to seek you eagerly. And I have found you, and I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from Egyptian linen. I have perfumed my bed with myrrh, aloes, and cinnamon. Come, let us take our fill of love till morning. Let us delight ourselves with love, for my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. He took a bag of money with him. At full moon, he will come home.
Okay, thank you. So there is so much here. What we see right away is in verse 13, she seizes him and kisses him. So the trap was set, and where is this youth? He's in the trap, right? He has just plunged himself into the trap. And what's interesting as this seductress begins to say, I had to offer sacrifices, and today I have paid my vows. This is really weighty here, because this is deception on display. We see someone that's acting religious, actually, a pagan that is religious but not saved. Maybe they go to church, but she's a pretender. And what she's saying to this youth is, I'm just like you. I've paid my vows. I've offered sacrifices. I'm clean. Well, that's a lie. And again, that's what we need to consider. That's what our young people need to consider. And then verse 15, now the seductress is stroking the ego. This is basically, hey, good looking. That's what's happening right here. And then as one of you mentioned in verse 16 and 17, it talks about, I have spread my couch with coverings, colored linens from the Egyptian linen. So we're talking about like the best of the best, making it very provocative, making it very comfortable, making it sensual. And so the challenge for young people and for all of us, but, you know, in this context for young people, is be careful where you spend time with the opposite sex, because it does matter. You know, you don't take a opposite sex person into your bedroom to study, you just don't do that. That is putting yourself in, you know, inches away from sin, and you don't go to other places. And that's the message here for all of us, is that, you know, as parents, shepherds, we need to be so aware of where are our young teens spending their time and who are they with. And then we have to put a hedge of protection, and that's where boundaries and guidelines come in, you know, period. When my oldest was courting his wife, we discovered that there were times when he was visiting her at her family's house, and very quickly I'm like, hey, so how's mom doing? And she's doing good. She left, you know, at 6 p.m. to go to Tahoe for the weekend. And did you leave at that time? No. And so we had a conversation, and the conversation was fairly short. You're not going to do that again. You know, there's protection having that other adult objective party in the area. And my conscience and your mom's conscience is, that's not going to happen. I am being held accountable to God for you and doing the best I can. And I don't want to put handcuffs on you. I'm not going to put them on you. You know, but I have a responsibility. Parents, we have a responsibility to not, you know, put our kid in the middle of a kindling pile with gasoline on it and then say, hey, hold this match for a while. And that's really what was happening. So thankfully for this adult child, they got it. But you know, that's the kind of conversations that I know that either some of us have also had or that you will have, because we love God and we love our kids enough to have those uncomfortable moments of conflict, quite frankly, that go on. Okay. And then here we go. Come let us, on verse 18, come let us take our fill of love till morning. And so I put on the back of your handout something for you to read for later, but it's really, if you just read this and you don't look at the context or the original language, that word love just sounds so great, doesn't it? Oh, they're just loving one another. This is all just feel good stuff. Well, no, actually, this is all about sexual gratification here. You know, this isn't agape love being described, you know, unconditional love of God for his elect, for his own. It's not phileo love, friendship bonding that's going on here. It's not storge love, you know, a family love. This is eros. This is erotic love. And so we need to call it what it is. And when our youth are on the precipice or maybe involved in some erotic sexual activity, we need to help them see what it is. We need to help them understand what's happening on their inside.
And this, in its context, between one man and one woman in the boundaries of marriage, it is made to be beautiful.
Right.
Even, I remember telling my children, that you want to wait for that one person because you can be embarrassed, you can be awkward, but they're the only ones. You don't want to go into a marriage all experience and, oh, I know this. No, you want, that's your beloved for the rest of your life. And it is made to be pleasurable in the bounds. So wait, enjoy it. Don't drag this dead body into your bedroom with your wife or right. husband.
Right. Amen.
I think you've got a book that addresses some of that. Right? Sex is not the problem, lust is.
Right.
And talks about that it's a that relationship is a blessing by God. It's the world's perverted it, yes. and distorted it.
Right.
You know, and so we read these warnings and because the sin is we seek this temporal pleasure, and it's not in the way God designed that to be, and yet God designed that relationship,
right.
you know, in the right context, as you're saying. There's, you know, we, I say the world, but we as sinners have distorted that and perverted
right.
it and made it sin.
Right, absolutely. That's why we mentioned last week, and you know, in various different contexts, we as parents need to be talking regularly about the matters of the heart, and if you want to call it awkward discussions, like sexual sin, temptation, and all that goes on with that. And some of it, you know, I mean, it all needs to be discussed. One of the things that that Glenn took junior hires through, I think, right? Didn't you do that a couple years ago through this? And, you know, several of the young guys are going through this book again. And it's not about going through a book. It's about taking us to the Word of God and helping reveal the matters of the heart. And I can't commend us enough to do that. It is what is going to build up our people, our young people, you know, young men and young women to honor God. But it's awkward, and you have to have regular conversations. And even when they say everything's fine, number one, it's probably not fine. Let's be real. And they need to be helped through that. Okay. So verse 19 through 21 is the continuance of this encounter with the seductress. And now I'm going to, you know, refer to this youth as a victim, although, you know, he's a willing victim, and we see her backstory strategy being revealed, and it really does, it reminds me of James 1, 14 through 15. It says this, "But each person is tempted when he is lured and enticed by his own desire. Then desire, when it has conceived, gives birth to sin, and sin, when it is fully grown, brings forth what? Brings forth destruction, bring forth death, and that's what we see manifesting itself in the life of this youth. So my husband is not at home. He has gone on a long journey. So this seductress is basically saying, hey, don't worry. You're not going to get caught. I'm not going to get caught. This is all okay. He's got money, and this is when he's coming home. And then with much seductive speech, she persuades him. With her smooth talk, she compels him. And so again, that's, you know, what we need to be aware of, young people need to be aware of, is that sin comes across very seductive, very appealing, as all of you guys have said. It actually is, you know, supposed to look good, and it's not. It's not good. We need to see beyond that facade, and what it does is it entices. So this is what we have seen develop here so far. Although, again, this is written poetically, there's a lot of truths and lessons for youth and for us older people as well. Number one, this youth was an easy target. Okay? So the question I have for all of us in this room is, are you an easy target? Are you equipped? Are you being equipped? Are you seeking counsel from your parents and other godly leaders? Because without the equipping of God's word in your mind and heart and girding yourself with that, you're going to be an easy prey. And so consider that. Are you an easy target? Also, we see here that this youth is quickly engaged with a person of immoral or bad character. And so as we think about who our teens are hanging out with, you know, is this a person of bad character? Who are their close, intimate friends? You should be asking them that, and they should be querying that in their own lives to make sure that they're not placing themselves in harm's way. Who has their attention? Who are they investing in? And that really means they're being invested in and influenced by. This seductress was looking to trap and seduce. That was her agenda. So our young people need to be equipped and aware of what's going on with that other person, that young lady or that young man. Are they approaching you in ways that seem, man, they're just making me feel so good about myself, but what's their agenda? Is it a God-honoring agenda? And if you're not equipping yourself and interacting with your parents so that you're aware, you're going to be very susceptible to falling. This seductress was free, we see in the scriptures, with her physical attention. We see that. And so again, as parents, as we're talking with our youth, and we're talking to them about, you know, what we deem appropriate and what is inappropriate, and, you know, I'm not going to make a list, nor does God say, you know, hugging for 3 seconds is acceptable. You know, a kiss on the cheek is, you know, if it's a holy kiss, although that's mentioned, you know, we need to be working with our youth and ourselves on the matters of the heart, but also there's just standards, and families need to develop that so that our youth are aware of someone who's way too physical and free with it should be a warning. It should be something that should cause them to be afraid. And again, we see in verse 14 where she's coming across as religious. So just because a person goes to church doesn't mean that this person is a believer. We know that. And that they're a perfect potential soulmate for the future. We need to, you know, build enough understanding so that when our youth interact with one another, they can start to see the matters of the other person's heart sort of be revealed. And that's why you go slow. That's why you build brother and sister relationships with people, not just, you know, all about physical and sexual and emotional, because that's where you get lost and things become very clouded. She was a pursuer. She was making the other person feel desired. Again, consider that. Have your antenna up for that. And she made promises, false promises of pleasing the other person. And again, I think about, you know, this false pleasing that is for a short time with devastating consequences for our young people, for us as adults, that we just cannot deny. And she said, you know, she makes it look like, hey, this is happening on the down low, right? My husband's out of town. He's got cash. He's not coming back. Well, that's just like my parents are, you know, they're at a movie. The internet is available, and I know how to get around the block, you know, so I'm going to do that. That's a lie. That is, you know, something that we as parents need to, again, regularly be discussing and be so careful. Just, number one, if you have put filters on your system, that doesn't mean you can just go, oh, my job is done, because we haven't done our job. What we've done is, like someone mentioned last week, we've put a fire screen around the fire, which is appropriate, but we got to continue to work on the matters of the heart and be real, because I know, because I've raised and raising a lot of kids. You ask them, like I think Mike mentioned, everything okay? Oh yeah, everything's great. You know what? That doesn't always mean everything's great. You know, we need to continue to have further questions to help reveal, help them see what's going on in their own life. Okay, now let's go into the balance of the scripture here. Verses 22 through 27, we're going to see the stark reality and consequences of what happened here and the consequences that this sin has. So Let's have someone, Glenn, could you read that, those last verses, 22 through 27?
All at once he follows her as an ox goes to the slaughter, as a stag is caught fast, till an arrow pierces its liver, as a bird rushes into a snare, he does not know that it will cost him his life. And now, sons, listen to me, and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. For many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are a mighty throng. Her house is the way of Sheol, going down to the chambers of death.
Thank you. So we see in this proverb, it didn't end well. And that's what we want to be able to communicate to our youth, to our teens, and to ourselves as it relates to the consequences of sin, is it ends in death and destruction here. We see that this youth who is totally playing the role of a fool, you know, he follows her. He's entranced, you know, as an ox going to the slaughter. He's stupid in the flesh, and he's, you know, like going to the butcher. You know, we see this picture of the arrow. I mean, that's talking about a mortal wound that has just been inflicted on this young man. And, you know, his testosterone is raging so much, he has no idea that he's just given his life up. That's what we're trying to see here. And then in verse 24, this should pull us back into thinking about God and his word and it being our truth. And Psalm 119, verse 9, as a prayer of each person. And that's, and now, O son, listen to me and be attentive to the words of my mouth. Let not your heart turn aside to her ways. Do not stray into her paths. And then verse 26 is a wake-up call for all of us that, you know, this victim wasn't someone that was just weak. This isn't the three-legged sheep that's limping along. This says, for many a victim has she laid low, and all her slain are what? They're mighty. But they place themselves in the wrong place at the wrong time for the wrong reason, not with Christ in view. And what happens? They sin. And there's consequences. And so that's the message that we need to continue to help shepherd our children through, our youth through. And with that said, as I mentioned earlier, but God, there's always hope. There's always victory if we trust, if we obey. And as our kids are being more influenced by the Spirit and by the Word, God does bring the increase. And so, you know, it's not hopeless.
I just wanted to point out that I really think that provocative woman so often can be the young girls,
sure,
or daughters that are flirtatious and modest and engaging in physical touch or even intimate conversations,
right,
you know, and growing that is appropriate.
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Very helpful and a great reminder. You know, girls tend to invest emotionally, and that's still giving away something that was intended for their future spouse. And, you know, we as parents, and I mentioned it, I think, a month or two ago, and I'll mention it again since you brought it up. I have three daughters, and all of them, you know, if Stephanie was here, she'd be like, oh, he said it again. I've had to say, you're not wearing that. How come, Dad? Because you're too big for that now. It's not bringing modesty to the picture. And all of them, thank the Lord, but were like, really? And I'm like, yeah, let me tell you about guys. You know, and guys, you know, are pigs.
Nope.
You know, in many ways. And so, you know, we need to have those conversations and help our daughters see what they're not seeing. Because I'm sure that none of them were dressing in a way that they're like, oh, I want to be provocative. No, they didn't. But they needed help. They needed some guidance. And then as they get older, you pray that they have these deep convictions that will, you know, carry them through in their life. Okay, we're out of time. So we didn't get to the questions. We'll start those questions last week because I think they're really important. Glenn, do you want to add something?
Well, I just wanted to say I think that's the young people that I see last night hearing Corey's testimony, it's a testimony to that, and what we see in our own young people in our church, the ones that do well at this, the ones that are the most successful going through those tempestuous years, are the ones that's where the church comes into play, that parents are doing what they can, but to have other people in their life come along, and for the young people to be willing to humble themselves during that time of pride and say, I'd like you men to hold me accountable. I'd like, if you pass the men in our church, come to men and say, I want that. I want, give me feedback. Tell me where I'm messing up. Tell me where, and girls as well with women. That's why it says the older men and the older women to help the younger ones, because that's where the church body can really come alive in helping get them through those years, which are directional years in the right. rest of their life.
Right.
And we have to be willing to help one another, and that takes time and effort and energy and coming alongside and being another voice in their life.
Right.
But the kid has to be willing to come and say, teach me.
Right.
Help me.
Right. And again, that's an evidence, like I think you mentioned, somebody mentioned about that maturing. That's an evidence of spiritual maturity. Someone that says, hey, I'm teachable and I'm desirous of you speaking truth and giving me accountability is evidence that you are maturing in Christ. And you realize I don't got it all and there is danger out there. Okay, so next week, even though I thought we'd finish this week, I encourage you to talk about these things at home. And then, we're not going to go through the scripture next week. We're going to go through scripture, but not this one. But I do want to have you guys go through those couple questions because I think they're worthy of time. And then we're going to move on to the next subject. And it's really going to be about that battle, the spiritual battle that our youth are contending with and that we are. So let's pray. Father God, we love you. We thank you for this time and as brief as it is. And God, we once again commit ourselves to you. Father, I pray for each family here in our body as they wrestle with the temptation of sin, with sin and our youth in its clutches in various forms. God, may you give us as parents your wisdom, your insight. May we be gracious and charitable. May your gospel grace prevail, the hope we have in Christ. I pray for victory for those that are ensnared or struggling or on the edge of making choices that will have great consequences and that don't honor you. Father, help us. We need your help. Help us to cling to your word. We know your word is truth. And so, Father, go before us. I think of the young people that will be going to Awana Scholarship Camp here in this. They're leaving today. Father, we commit them to you. I pray for them. We pray for them that this would not be just a time to hang out with friends, but this is part of their spiritual pilgrimage as they see the character and nature of you on display, its greatness, and the call to live a life worthy of the calling to which they have been called. Father, for those that will be at camp that are not believers, that are going there, that are religious, and that's there's no new heart, may this be the time where they repent and believe. Father, I pray again for you to help us as parents to shepherd our families, to be so aware of sheep in wolf's clothing, and to do all these things in love as Christ has loved us. We pray in Christ's name. Amen.